Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:42 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 22nd, and since it's 2022, a lot of people are calling it Tuesday. Well, it was definitely a day of two halves because initially oil prices had surged higher and then gave up just about all of the advance. Getting all the way up to test the $100 level has been one of the places, I guess, the initial target for a lot of people over the course of the last couple of months. So it got there today. Now we're likely to see a little bit of consolidation. So Russia moved into the autonomous regions in the east of Ukraine today. Inverted commas, peacekeeping mission. But certainly it's pushing their troops forward into the historic area of Ukraine. So that was met with an incremental increase in the sanctions that are being levied against Russia by Western governments. And that's part of the reason why the price of oil is starting to come back down again. Because we didn't have the hammer fall in terms of sanctions, but rather that it's been incremental. But what it also means is that despite the fact that Western governments are calling it an invasion, these areas have been self-governed for 8 years already, so it's really more like an amplification of brinksmanship. I remain of the view that this whole kerfuffle will be eventually resolved with a negotiated settlement, but it's going to take a lot of back and forth horse trading, and the reality is that Russia is trying to push its case physically, and the West is pushing its case monetarily, and those sorts of the kind of strategies are mutually incompatible with one another. But we are starting to see less demand for some of the safe havens. So gold prices were also initially firm in here today, then pulled back and then recouped most of the loss, so still pausing here around the $1,900 area. And we do have a short-term overbought condition, so it's not beyond the bounds of possibility at all that we get a little bit of consolidation here. But the most important thing that gold has done has been to break the sequence of lower rally highs. So now we're back on the front foot, and it looks increasingly likely that gold will surmount the $1,900 area and then eventually push through the 2,000 level and take another step higher. One of the most clear defining characteristics of the gold market is that it can do nothing for lengthy periods of time, but when it does move on the upside, then it can go up in a really explosive manner. And I think the most important and enduring point is that all of the media coverage about what's going on in the Ukraine is a sideshow compared to interest rate policy. So the yen was weaker in here today, and the dollar continues to trend higher against it, because the Bank of Japan has said in, I guess, I'm not going to say plain English, but they've said quite clearly that they continue to support the yield curve control program. So yields are starting to come back down, and they're currently around 19 basis points. So we haven't had a dynamic move. We certainly haven't had the kind of fireworks, for example, that we would have had in 2016, for example. But certainly, if the Bank of Japan is willing to get in there and start buying bonds and printing money in order to do so, then that's going to contribute to a weak yen environment. And of course, the yen is one of those safe haven currencies as well. Now, when we look at stock markets, well, they remain weak, but with incremental imposition of sanctions, then I think stock market investors are at least willing to give the benefit of the doubt to this crisis not escalating. And one of the, I think, the biggest lessons that I learned from David was that a crisis has to be seen to be getting worse in order for it to continue to have a deleterious effect on prices. And this crisis took a step worse today, but it's not going to take another step worse tomorrow. Now, 2 or 3 weeks from now, maybe yes, but we're looking at more brinksmanship rather than outright conflict. So there isn't a reason to panic additionally as a response, and therefore we're starting to see some unwinding of short-term oversold conditions in stock markets. So then the Nasdaq also pulled back rather sharply in here today and paired its decline, and it's at least pausing now in the region of the low from back in January. So it's also in an area of potential support, and at least offering some support in this area. But again, the bigger picture here is not so much about what's happening in Ukraine. It's about the fact that we've had really strong earnings during this earnings season, where lots of companies did well in Q4, but then guidance hasn't been particularly impressive. So they're basically saying, yes, we did really well in the Christmas season, and we don't think we're going to be able to repeat that this time, or in this quarter. So Home Depot was a good example of that. They came through with earnings that beat expectations today, but the guidance was lower, so the share pulled back really quite violently. And it's now trading back below the 200-day moving average in no uncertain terms. This is a very dynamic move. So this trend has completely lost consistency. And if it's going to recover, then it's going to have to rally back above $350 in a very sustained manner. Then I think it's also worth looking at some of the more defensive type companies. So, for example, Walmart has been ranging now for nearly at least 18 months, let's not call it 2 years, and it's right at the lower side of that range at present. So these are also pricing in that there is the potential here that we're going to see earnings not keep up with what we saw in Q4. And Costco, for example, had accelerated higher from the lows in 2021 and then has pulled back in a sharp manner to unwind the overextension relative to the 200-day moving average, but it's just pausing. So we've had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and it's going to take time to consolidate following that kind of move, and that's assuming that this isn't a top formation. So we have the prospect of earnings not doing as well in the first quarter of this year, but we still have an environment where central banks are talking about raising rates, and bond yields having eased back in early trading today, then started to rally intraday. So if this is more of a squall in Ukraine rather than an outright conflagration, then it's quite likely that bond yields will persist to move higher, and that will then continue to weigh on some of the most interest rate sensitive portions of the market. And the big question is, how successful will central banks be in actually raising rates? Because they're doing a good job right now of talking about it. And obviously we've had the UK raising rates, and it hasn't had a particularly deleterious effect on the FTSE 100, which is still right in the region of the peaks from early 2020. New Zealand has also been raising rates and doing so probably faster than most other places. And the stock market is now right in the region of the lows over the course of the last year, and but still trading below the 200-day moving average, unwinding the overbought condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average. So interest rate sensitivity is quite evident within that chart pattern, and the New Zealand dollar is also steadying. Australia is also talking more about raising rates, and the dollar is beginning to steady here, and obviously it's also supported by strength in the commodity complex. We've definitely seen a lot of interest from commodity investors. So nickel prices were popping on the upside in here today. Aluminium prices popped on the upside, and soft commodities, particularly grains, because of that concentration of production in places like Ukraine, were also strong. So wheat prices popped on the upside and continue to trend higher, and they've been trending higher now for, well, more than 2 years. And it was a strong day right across the agricultural commodity sector. So we certainly have the real prospect of food price inflation becoming a significant issue. And that, more than anything else, contributes to a great deal of social distress in less developed countries where food prices represent a significant portion of the outlay for most families on a monthly basis. And of course, we're also seeing a lot of social unrest in developed countries as well. The Canadian trucker protests have at least tried to break them up, but copycat type protests are evolving in a number of other countries as well. So people really are sick of the lockdowns, and most particularly against a background where the Omicron variant isn't nearly as deadly. So, I mean, I continue to hear these stories, or not stories, but advertisements on the radio talking about the greatly increased risk of hospitalization for children. They don't talk about the greatly enhanced ability of children to experience very mild symptoms. So there's a massive funding campaign underway to inoculate children. But then there hasn't been the same intensity trying to get schools to open, particularly in places where, or I guess more liberal places controlled by unions. And there's a lot of social distress around these kinds of issues. And higher agricultural prices are only going to exacerbate those kinds of stresses. So we're in an environment where there are geopolitical tensions rising, but they're not the number one priority. The number one priority has to be interest rates because of the sensitivity of asset classes to those interest rates. And that's what's contributing to the corrective phase that we have on Wall Street right now. Then you have earnings momentum starting to roll over. So that's occurring before interest rates rise in a profound manner. And it certainly suggests that we're going to have lower growth by the middle of this year. And this optimism about how easy it's going to be for central banks to raise rates, I think, is completely misplaced. I think they're going to get to one or two hikes. Whether that is two hikes of one of 50 basis points and one of 25, but I don't believe they're going to get to raise rates more than twice before we get the stock market signaling in no uncertain terms that that's going to really contribute to a deflationary environment. And the yield curve spread is down now to 38 basis points, so that's a new low. And this continues to trend lower in a really aggressive manner. So we were at 120 basis points in October, and we're at 40 now. So this is a really very quick contraction. And when it gets to inversion, well, then that's starting the clock on a recession. And I suspect that well before we get to an inverted yield curve, the stock market will have already priced in the potential because we're already starting to see that. So I still think that the worst case scenario is a full unwinding of the pandemic advance, and that prices could come back to where they were in late 2019 for the major indices. I think that's the worst case scenario. But for a market like the Nasdaq, that would be a peak to trough pullback in the order of 30%, which is a lot. And it would qualify as a bear market based on really any kind of definition of that. So obviously, this represents a challenge from the perspective of investors. Are they willing to sit through a 30% pullback and in the hope that they'll be rewarded in future? Even if we look at, for example, the NASDAQ gold ratio, it could easily pull back into the region of the 1,000-day moving average and still be holding the breakout from that range that persisted between 2018 and 2020. And I suspect that we will at least unwind that overbought condition relative to the 1,000-day moving average. This continues to look like a medium-term correction type of environment, despite the fact that we have short-term oversold conditions and the potential in the short term for a rebound. I still think that it is interest rates and earnings are going to be the defining characteristics of this market, and that what's going on in Ukraine, for the moment at least, it could get worse, but for the moment, it's a sideshow. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.